Some children are naturally interested in others and care about their needs. Other children can be quite self-absorbed, thinking only of themselves. The solution is to help them become more others-centered. God has placed within a child a conscience, and that conscience prompts children in various areas. One of those areas has to do with caring about others.
It's in this session that we help children learn that thinking about others isn't an elective. It's a required course. Furthermore, a sense of satisfaction comes when you care about someone else. Often that's the positive affirmation from the conscience that you're doing the right thing.
There is a way to parent that addresses the conscience. Many parents, however, are caught in between. They become the conscience for their children. In this session, you'll learn how to move out of that role in order to help your child grow in maturity.
I'd like to tell you a Bible story that happened on Palm Sunday. Now, we usually think of Palm Sunday starting with Jesus finding the donkey and then going and riding into Jerusalem on the donkey. But the story happened early in the morning. Jesus wasn't in Jerusalem. He was in Jericho, 17 miles away, walking up to Jerusalem for the triumphal entry. Earlier in the morning, he was back in Jericho, and the crowds were excited. It's the Passover time. Lots of people would be traveling up to Jerusalem. So there was a buzz around, and furthermore, the crowds had heard about this Jesus. He's the one who healed people. He's the one who healed the lepers, and they were cleansed. He's the one who fed thousands of people with just a few loaves and a few fish. Now, as Jesus is coming out of Jericho, a very important thing happens. The Bible tells us that the crowds all around were looking, and they saw two men who were crying out, "Son of David, have mercy on us!" They were blind. They wanted to be healed. The crowds rebuked them, the Bible says. They weren't concerned about the needs of these men. They were concerned about their own entertainment and seeing this Jesus come by. They weren't concerned about the hurting experiences of these two men. But the Bible tells us that when Jesus came out of Jericho, he saw the men, he had compassion on them, he went over and he healed them. Now, what makes the difference between the crowds and Jesus? The issue is compassion. Jesus had compassion on them. I'm convinced that many of our children are like the crowds. They're not like Jesus. And all of us need to grow to be more like Jesus in our lives, especially in this area of being compassionate toward other people.
In this session, we want to focus in on the part of the conscience that prompts us to care about others. And of course, the motivating emotion here is compassion. We want our children to have compassion on others. And some children are pretty good at that. They're rather compassionate. They do care about other people. So you've got 5-year-old Joy who sees the hurt bird on the side of the road. He says, "Mom, we have to stop. That bird is hurt. We have to help that bird." Or Bill, 10 years old, he says, "Dad, we can't put that wood in the trash. There's nails in it. The trash man might get hurt." Some of our children are naturally compassionate, but many of them are not. Many of them are self-absorbed, self-focused. They can only see things from their own perspective. They're only thinking about what they want and their own needs. And we have to help these children get outside of themselves a little bit, to develop a little bit of compassion, and to learn to care about others.
When Carla came home from school, her mom realized that she had been crying. "Carla, why were you crying? What's wrong?" And so Carla told the story of how a little girl named Samantha at school was being mistreated by some guys. She was getting bullied or just being made fun of. "Well, Carla, why are you crying?" Mom said. Carla says, "Well, I wanted to do something about it, but I didn't know what to do. I saw a movie once where a girl went into the crowd and punched out one of the boys, and then everybody left everybody alone, and it was okay then. But I didn't feel brave enough to do that." Now, Mom could have handled this in a number of ways. She could have called up the school and said, "We've got a bullying problem. We need to deal with it." She could have marched in over there herself and started challenging the boys herself. But she decided to work with her daughter in this area of the conscience because she saw something good happening right there in her daughter's life. She said, "Let's talk about some things that you can do. You could go and talk to the leadership. You could talk to the school officials or the teachers. You could go and confront the boys." But the idea that meant the most for Carla was when Mom suggested that she just befriend Samantha, become her friend and help her out so that she could deal with some of the challenges she was facing. That was the best suggestion. That's what Carla needed. And she went in and she started a friendship with Samantha that became a rich friendship as they grew together.
This idea of caring about others is not optional for our children. It's not just a personality trait. Some kids are, some kids aren't. This is important for them to learn in life. If they're going to be successful in relationships, they're going to be able to maneuver in the world, they need to learn how to care about others, how to understand how their actions affect other people and be concerned about other people. So we need to be working on this area as we work with our children.
We want to talk about another parenting strategy here, and that is to teach children to honor others. It'll be very helpful in this area about caring for others, is to teach children to honor others. Let me tell you where we got that as we studied the Bible. We came to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 18, which reads this way. Pray for us. We are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honorably in every way. Do you see how the writer's tying the conscience together with living honorably? What does it mean to live honorably? The whole concept of honor is so important, and we teach our children about honor, it's going to open up new doors for them to be able to care about others and think about others, not just think about themselves.
I love to talk to families about this concept of honor. Honor is so fun. It's an amazing concept, and often I think we don't really understand what honor is all about. I mean, we know how to teach children to obey, and we focus on obedience, but what do we do with this idea of honor? Well, maybe we'll teach our children to be respectful, but we think that honor is so much more than just being respectful. As we work with families, we find that this concept of honor can change family life. It can change how we relate to one another if we really understand honor and how to teach it to our children. We've spent a lot of time studying honor because we look at families and we find that some families focus on obedience and they do pretty well, and other families focus on obedience and they don't do very well. What's the difference? It's how they treat one another. We say obedience gets the job done, but honor deals with how the job is done and how we treat one another in the process. We've got to begin to understand this concept of honor and learn how to teach it to our children if we're going to see significant change in relationships, how we take care of one another, how we talk to one another, how we handle life together. This concept of honor is just so important.
We developed a working definition for honor for children. Even young children can make this honor definition real for their lives. We say that honor is treating people as special, doing more than what's expected, and having a good attitude. Those three components make up honor and give children a target. Then they know where they're trying to do. What does honor look like in practical terms? You see, obedience gets the job done, but honor deals with how we get that job done. Honor is a relational word. Honor teaches our children to be relational and to look at the way that they're relating to other people. It's not good enough to just do the job. You need to do the job in an honoring way. That's what we're talking about here in this concept of honor.
We say that honor is like oil in the machine of family life. If family life is like a machine, we've got a lot of work to do. But the oil decreases friction in a machine, and the honor decreases friction in family life. It teaches us how to relate to one another. We also say that giving honor is like giving a gift. Now, our children love to give gifts, don't they? Your five-year-old comes in the door with wilted dandelions in his hand, and you say, oh, that's wonderful, you brought me flowers. That's great, thank you. Why do we do that? Because when children are giving a gift, we show delight. That's just the way it works, and that's why kids love to give gifts. Even as adults, we want to watch the person open the gift. Don't just take the gift away wrapped up. I want to see you open it because I want to see the delight on your face. And the same thing is true with honor. When we honor one another, the person who's being honored is delighted. So when we teach children how to honor in family life and we're delighted, well, that becomes a self-perpetuating attitude in the home. So we want to teach them about honor. As parents, we're going to live out honor and we're going to see delight just added to our relationships.
I love to tell children about honor. I say, God is hidden within honor, the secret ingredients that'll help you to be successful in life. These are things that are going to help you not just now in your family. They'll help you to be successful later on when you get out of the family. They'll help you to be successful at work. They'll help you to be successful on the sports team. They'll help you to be successful at school. What we're saying here is that children need to learn how to work on these things in their lives. Honor is a very important quality that our children need, and it's our job to teach it to them. It's interesting that the Bible says, honor your father and mother 8 times in the Bible. Why?
Because it's such an important quality and it starts at home. This is where we learn it. Our children need to develop it in their lives.
And as parents, we're already honoring our children, aren't we? We honor them all the time. You go to the grocery store, you buy your son's favorite cookies, just because you know he likes them. Now we're suggesting you need to talk about honor. So when you bring those cookies home, you unpack the grocery, say, "Hey son, I bought you your favorite cookies because I wanted to honor you." We need to talk about honor in family life. Preschoolers can memorize that definition. We'll put it up on the refrigerator. We're looking for opportunities to demonstrate honor, to name an honor, and then we challenge our children as well. You know, the way you said that wasn't very honoring. Could you say that again in a more honoring tone? So we got to challenge our children to understand what honor is and how to live it out.
Let me tell you a story about Ricky. She was a very self-absorbed little girl, 7 years old. Always complaining and whining about life. She resisted her parents' instructions, wouldn't accept no as an answer. It was just hard. It was frustrating to just even live with Ricky sometimes. Mom and Dad realized that honor was going to be part of the solution for working with her. So they used a very interesting illustration. They took her over to the sink and they said, "Here's a sink, and let's fill it up with water. The sink represents family life, and the water represents the energy our family has." So they filled it up with water a bit, and then they released water a little bit at a time from the plug in the drain. They said, "You know, there's things that drain energy out of our family. For example, we've got to deal with food, that is, buy the food, get the food put away, get the food cooked, eat the food, clean up the dishes, all those kinds of things that have to be happened with food. That takes a little energy away from our family. Then we've got the clothes, that is, getting the clothes into the drawers, and then getting them on the people, and then getting them put in the laundry, and then getting them, there's all the things about clothes. Well, there's a little bit more energy got drained out of the family. Then there's transportation, taking kids from here to there and getting them wherever they need to be. A little more energy drained from the family. But you know, even though those business kinds of things of family life are taking place, there's another thing that takes the energy out of family life, and that's people sometimes. When people complain, well, a little bit more energy drained out of family life. When people resist, a little more energy drained out of family life. Now, they said, "Ricky, do you know that a couple doors down they have that fountain, you know? That fountain that makes the whole front area look so nice at that house. Just complements the landscaping. Ricky, are you a drain or are you a fountain? Are you adding energy to family life or are you draining energy out of family life?" You know what the difference is? It's honor. Honor changes the dynamic so that when you're adding energy to family life, you're showing honor. Look for ways to do that. How can you do that? Look for ways to compliment someone else, to say thank you, to say, "Okay, Mom, we'll do it that way." Look for ways to add energy to family life, and that will be showing honor in some significant ways. We need you to do that because we don't have a lot of energy in our family. With all the things draining it out, we need your help. In fact, we would say everybody needs to be adding energy to family life. Honor is the secret ingredient that makes that happen.
Sometimes parents ask us, "Well, give us some more ideas of how to teach honor. I mean, you say that giving honor is like giving a gift. Well, how do you teach your kids to give a gift?" And that's a good question, because if we tell children what to do, that's obedience. Now we want them to take some initiative and do it themselves. One way we can do that is by adding it to the instruction process, at least initially in family life. Maybe you're going to tell your son he needs to come help set the table. So you'll give him the instruction, "Son, I want you to come and set the table now. But after you've set the table, I want you to do one more thing that's honoring. You decide, you choose, just choose something else to honor the family tonight. Once you're done, let me know and I'll come and check your work." Now, you may have to give him some suggestions. You could tell him to make a centerpiece for the table. You could tell him to fold the napkins fancy or to maybe draw a picture. But you decide, you choose one of these things, choose something of your own, and let me know. So then he sets the table, puts out the plates and the silverware, and then he does one extra thing. Whatever it is, when you come back to check his work, you want to be delighted. "Oh, this is wonderful. Look what you've done. This is great. Family's going to love this. This is going to make dinner taste better because of those nice pictures you made." We want to delight in whatever they chose. You see, obedience is kind of taken from them. They have to obey. But when they start to show honor, they're using their own creativity. They're using their own initiative to do something extra to care for other people.
Let's talk about arguing common problem in many families. Arguing is always about an issue of some kind. But a child often crosses the line, and their persistence turns into demandingness. When persistence turns into demandingness, now the child is being dishonoring. It always takes two to argue, but it only takes one to stop. And the way to stop is to move from the issue to the process. We're not going to talk about the dirty shirt. We're not going to talk about going to the movie. We're not going to talk about having a snack right now. What we're going to talk about is the way you're treating me. That's the process, okay? That's what we're going to talk about here. The difference between the issue and the process. The way you're treating me is wrong. That moves us to honor, you see, because the issue is just getting business done in family life. Honor addresses how we're relating. That's the process. That's one of the ways that we can get out of the arguing trap with our kids. Move to the process. That's when we talk about honor.
Likely your children are already demonstrating initiative in this area of the conscience. Consider this question for a few minutes. What are some ways that your child has demonstrated honor? And how might you show delight when you see demonstrations of honor in your child?